right, everybody, welcome back to episode 2 of Math Time Radio. And I'm still your host, Rich.
And I'm Crail.
And I'm Dwayne.
So we're coming to you live right here from Skid Row Studios in beautiful downtown Los Angeles. I don't know, man, I'm excited too. What about you, Crail?
Man, we got the sophomore edition today.
Oh,
buddy.
Yeah.
Number 2.
So today we actually have guests in the studio. Can you believe that?
Oh, man, it's packed in here.
It's packed. Standing room only. Actually, we're real happy to be sitting here with DCOM Clothing. We're going to talk with them in a few. And I think that's going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah, we also got some guy named Noah Tillis up in here, too.
Oh, yeah. Who's that guy? Oh, yeah. Okay, I know that guy. Yeah.
Little
training partner of ours.
MMA guy. He's always wearing some DCOM shirts up at his fight. So.
Oh, yeah.
Yep. And we got Dwayne in the house today.
Hi.
Ted in the house. And of course, on the boards is always Jeremy, the famous Jeremy. So where do we start? Well, there's a lot of things going on today in jiu-jitsu. There's tournaments and things going on. One of them that we have...
I didn't have my mic on.
Uh-oh. Oh,
keep
hey
going.
Now. Hey all now, right, hey all now.
All right. We need a re-intro of the guy on the boards.
Oh, we got Jeremy Hansen on the board.
Hey.
Now,
there you go, the pod father. So what we got going on out there today in Long Beach is the California North American BJJ tournament. And I want to say what's up to some of our teammates out there. We got David competing and Joshua, little Anthony. Actually, I heard he plays. That's good.
That's good, yeah. And I know we got some guys from some of our affiliate schools out, Millennium, out there competing too. So shout out to those guys.
Right on. And then, of course, we want to say hi to our little training partner, Angie, who she hurt her knee. So get better soon. Hope to see you back on the mat.
That's it.
That's it. Okay, that's it. Next story. Okay, actually, what about that UFC fight last night, man? Tell me about that.
Oh, man. I don't know. Like I said, I mean, we're getting into UFC, but I thought the Pro Elite card was better.
Yeah, no kidding. No kidding. I'm kind of glad I didn't pay for that pay-per-view. Oh, wait. Oh, I'm sorry.
I paid just to keep it official.
Yeah. Yeah. Thanks, brother.
Yeah, okay.
No, but, you know, at least, you know, I think they had a couple good fights.
Yeah, it was okay. It was just, I don't know. I think, you know, obviously it was a Brazilian sweep, so I think they kind of stacked it that way. I don't think you want a bunch of Brazilians all angry. I don't know how many people they had in there, but that might not be good.
Yeah, it kind of reminded me of what happened when they brought the UFC to England and stuff. You know, they're bringing out Dan Hardy and all these guys, and they got to make everybody happy, I guess.
Yeah, it would have been cool to see Chael Sonnen walk in there. That
would
have been a good fight.
Yeah, no joke. But what about Nogueira, man? Nogueira was...
Man, he put it on. I guess, you know, a lot of people were saying that he was going to lose, man, but...
Yeah, you never know. You never know what can be a tie turner. You know, there's one good punch and that's it.
What do you think, Noah? What do you think about that?
Yeah, I think the fights were pretty good. It was pretty one-sided, though. So seeing all the Brazilians win, you know, that doesn't always happen. So I think they could have put it together a little better, I think.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, there's definitely enough talent out there that they could have, you know, brought in, you know, a lot more people.
I think they might have been a little bit worried about ticket sales because they're already talking about going back to a bigger venue with more people. So I think they're just trying to get their feelers out there.
Bottom line, it's all about money.
Oh, yeah, for sure. But one of the exciting things I'm really, you know, hoping to see soon is that new deal with UFC and Fox.
Yeah, we'll see how that goes. I just don't know if that's going to be on, like, Channel 11 or what's that going to
be,
you know?
No, actually, it looks like it's going to be on FX, and it's going to be, a 7-year deal, and they're going to be in partnership, and it's going to bring the Ultimate Fighter from, from Spike to FX.
Was it FX, or I thought it was Fuel?
I think it's actually Fox Sports Net.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, well, that's the main station. But I know they're doing something like where the post and the pre-show are done on a different channel.
Mm-hmm.
And then the actual fight is done on a Fox network. But
it's one step closer to seeing it on, you know, on regular television. And hopefully for these guys that have to fight on the undercard, they can get a little bit more publicity and they can get some airtime. And, you know, maybe they can start pulling in some money like they should, you know?
It'd be nice for those guys to get some paychecks they deserve, man. Because Noah would probably know better, man. But it takes a lot of time and dedication to run through those camps, man. Even those guys that lose, it's not like unless you get like a 2-week notice. But those guys that, you know, put in the 3 months of camp, man, there's nothing worse than losing, making $500, you know?
Oh, yeah, definitely. Especially when, you know, sometimes insurance coverage, you know, doesn't pay for everything, injuries and things like that, and you're going to have to come out of pocket. Just, you know, not good.
Man, I don't know. Just diet alone costs a lot of money. You know, like, it's not like they're eating 99-cent tacos at Jack in the Box after camp, you know?
Yeah, no kidding. And, you know, everyone out there, we do want to hear from you. I almost forgot to mention, we are live, and we do have, you know, we want you guys to call in. You can call us in at 1-800-893-9562. The phone lines are open, and we'd love to hear from you. We want to hear your opinion.
Yeah, you can also go online at www.skidrow.la and listen to us live, or I know there's an app out there you can download for free.
Yep, so you can listen live. And, you know, going back to what you're saying, those pro elite fights. Yeah, you're right. That was pretty exciting.
Yeah, I thought even the first two fights were pretty good. I was just like, they had the ref in there kind of reminded me of like the ref in the Pride days, but without the camera and the mic, you know, because he was, if there was no action or very little action on the floor, he's picking them back up, man. But those Hawaiians, man, they scrap, dude. They're...
Oh, yeah. They stay till the fight's done.
Man, even the girls, man, the girls are like, they were going at it.
Yeah, well, at least they didn't, you know, they didn't run up and jump on the cage before the fight's over, you know.
But I'm saying, man, like that ref was standing him up. They were going down. Nothing was going on. Even with the little, you know, rabbit punches, it was like, forget it. Let's get back up.
Yeah.
It should be.
Yeah, I think so, too. I think it's makes the fight more exciting, but.
And then Reagan Penn making his MMA debut. That was exciting. That was, you know, I kind of figured how that one was going to go.
Well, yeah, they're not going to put him up against somebody big. At least I don't think so.
Well, I think that guy's mistake was just to shoot in on him. You know, what was that guy thinking?
Well, they say Reagan's game is better than BJ's, but I, you know, so I don't think it would have mattered. I think he would eventually took him down and submitted him, or he just got taken down, you know, had to work on his guard. But I obviously, when they're trying to beat up your record, they're not going to put you against some hard hitters, you know?
Yeah, that's true.
I mean, Noah probably more in a fight scene than we are. And
yeah, I've actually rolled with Reagan, and it's the same stuff with BJ. He's really flexible. He's really strong. But BJ would be the first to say he's his best training partner. It was just a matter of time before he started fighting. So he's going to have a good career. He's going to start seeing him more. His jiu-jitsu is really, really strong.
Yeah, he's the youngest of that whole family, isn't he?
What was he, 30?
Is he?
Yeah, was he 30?
Yeah, I believe he's 30 this year. I rolled with him last year, and I think he was, I think, no, he may actually be 31 this year.
Oh, right on. Looks like we have a caller. Hey, caller.
How's it going?
Good. How's it going with you?
Welcome to Matt Time Radio. How are you doing today?
It's all good. Hey, right on. I'm Larry Cervantes, his cut man, the young boxer you got right there.
Oh, nice. Welcome. What's your name, man?
I'm Lou Randolph. I rep hands for a couple fighters.
Oh, hey, what's up, Lou?
We're cut.
So, what'd you think of the fight today that went on yesterday?
No comment, man.
Why not, man? You weren't repping no hands that day or what?
No, nah, it's a contractual violation.
Okay.
Oh, wow.
But that's awesome. I'm glad to know about the show, man. You guys got some real quality people on there.
Yeah, we do, man. You're one of them because you're on the line, buddy.
Yeah, exactly. That's what we do this for. We do this for our callers and whoever wants to listen.
That's awesome, man. That's awesome. You guys thinking about sponsoring or promoting any fights on your own soon?
Not quite yet. We would really like to get this show to as many people as we can get to listen. And
that's beautiful.
And see how far we can take this. You know, we are really, you know, grateful to be on the air with Skid Row, and we would really like for everyone to understand, you know, our sport, and let's see how many people we can get involved and get people training. It doesn't have to be one, you know, sport specific, but, you know, for someone that's maybe on the fence about training, you know, see if we can get some people in the gym.
You know, that's a good call, and especially when we're talking about jiu-jitsu, you know, I'm a little bit partial because it's where I train, but the Gracie schools, man, with that fundamentals curriculum, it's a really safe environment for people to come in, you know, which is rare. Have a combination of a family gym and a very aggressive team environment.
Yeah.
So that's my two cents on that. A very good way for people to get started and actually be in a real gym at the same time.
Well, jiu-jitsu is the gentle art. I mean, that's what, you know, it's about. It's about flowing and movement and everything. And yeah, definitely a lot of people were turned off, you know, to the sport before, you know, they had a lot of misconceptions. And I think actually, you know, the UFC and a lot of other organizations have been really good about, you know, just letting them know that It could be for just about anybody. You know, I'm on the putting
double
that.
And, you know, you guys are doing your part to increase that education. You know, I mean, the whole, like, human cockfighting argument just doesn't hold up, you know. If there are some particular promotions or states that deserve criticism, you know, that's on them. But the way we do it in California is very by the rules.
Yeah, our stuff a lot is grassroots because, I mean, obviously we're competitors too, and sometimes to look at it from the mindset of a competitor, even if you get on the mat and you lose or you get in a ring and you lose, man, it still takes a lot of courage just to get out there and put the time in. So
it sure does. And, you know, it's a shame when people don't understand the sport, but it's a beautiful thing when people do.
Yeah,
it's a good way to get involved.
And definitely, and too, how everyone has a different path in the sport. You know, not everyone's going to be a competitor, and some people just want to, you know, get in shape, and other people want to compete. And the greatest thing about it is you can choose your own path and your level of involvement in the sport.
It's a very good point, a funny one. I mean, part of the reason I started sparring again was just because, you know, I'm a male, you know, around my 30s in decent shape, and in the gym wrapping these guys' hands, and guys getting ready for a fight. Lou, jump in. We need you in the shark tank, so. Yeah, it's funny. You know, there's a spot for everybody who wants it.
Definitely.
So when you're out there, you're wrapping hands, right?
Luke. I wrap hands or work cuts.
Yeah, all right. So when you're out there doing that, man, what?
Pro fighters.
Yeah, so when you're out there doing that, obviously, you're almost like you got to prep the guy to get ready for battle.
You know what? A good cut man doing his job well is fundamentally important. And, you know, there's a lot of guys out there who are just kind of making up the art as they go, and you can really tell the difference. Ask any experienced fighter. You know, I mean, there are some guys who are just rough and raw, like Spirit Wolf and stuff. You know, he doesn't wrap his hands, but he's a rare breed. And I'll tell you what, though, everybody needs a cut man at some point in time. It's the last thing fighters want to think about, but you know what? When you need it, it's critical.
Yeah, I mean, you've seen them on TV too. You see some cuts, and people are like, "Holy mackerel!" And you get that cut guy in there between rounds, and just seal it up and get you back to action.
Yeah,
a lot of Cubman would be upset, and I'll probably get a phone call over this, but you know what, man, it's an art that can be definitely learned. I think that, you know, the reason there's so many few truly talented Cubmen is just you have to be willing to love it enough to really put in the practice. And I mean, I've just been blessed with people like you know, Cubman for Hire, Juan Ramirez.
That doesn't ring a bell. I'm sorry, I'm a jiu-jitsu guy.
No worries, man. No worries. He's had a gladiator challenge a lot. And, you know, guys like him and Juanito Ibarra, Rampage Jackson's trainer, mm-hmm. we're kind of in a new era with this sport where, like, really talented older people are actually willing to help younger guys learn. And it's a beautiful thing. You didn't get that in boxing too much. You really, really have to pay your dues in a gym. And all I have to say on that topic is I'm very blessed and grateful to have been able to learn from such talented people. And, you know, for my part of things, being a cut man and being a hand wrapper, you know, it's an art form.
Well, would you say then there's really a lot more people are getting involved now that MMA is legal in California? Is that why a lot of people are transitioning?
It was a beautiful thing. And Camo has his detractors, man. And I understand those arguments. You know, Camo is the California Amateur Mixed Martial Arts Organization. Mm-hmm. But I worked for them for a while, and maybe that makes me a little bit biased. But at the same time, before they were doing it, man, there was no blood work on these guys. They filtered out guys who had STDs. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to quote those numbers because I might get a phone call if I do.
Yeah.
But they're very good people doing a great thing, man. And let me tell you, like, there's plenty of blood that flies in a Muay Thai amateur fight.
Oh, yeah.
And none of those guys have blood work. Yeah. None of them.
Oh, we've been sitting ringside and our table has just gotten, you know, doused with blood. So, yeah, I know how that goes.
I was working a combat fight league fight up at Woodland Hills, and Brandon Vera was there. And, you know, when I'm working a fight, my fight is, you know, my focus is entirely on the face of the guy who I'm contracted to work with. And, my buddy Juan Ramirez, cutmanforhire.com, comes running over and he goes, Lou, you got some of those alcohol swipes? I'm like, yeah, what's up, Juan? He takes a couple from me, and Brandon Vera had gotten covered in blood. This guy got socked and his nose got busted and it flew all over him. The dude was freaked out. He cleaned himself off and didn't come back to his seat. My point being, blood work is critical, man. You know, blood can get everywhere, and regulation is a beautiful thing, despite what other people's opinions on that topic may be.
Yeah.
Not to mention fairness, man. These guys, like you said, are working so hard. you know, there's got to be standardization.
Yeah,
you know,
I agree.
You can't just have some dude with a gym refereeing his own guy's fights, you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah, definitely.
I think you see that in jiu-jitsu too now with the IBJJF trying to, you know, regulate jiu-jitsu people, making sure your school's accredited and you're coming from a good place.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
But we all know that the best jiu-jitsu ref is really Al Bundy. You know what I'm saying?
Hey, so. Dude, he, you know what? The guy, I've never rolled with the guy, so I can't say anything about him, but I'm sure he, you know, he got his butt out of Gracie school that you just finished giving a plug for a few minutes ago. So
he got his black belt. Yeah,
oh, yeah, he did.
You know, so I'm sure he probably earned it. I haven't rolled with the guy, but
I'm sure that he can beat up most any guy his age without a doubt.
Senior sixth division champion.
No doubt, man. And, you know, it's funny because at Gracie, we learned to, like, grab our own gi pants and stuff in the middle of different moves, but he's really got that down to an art form because his hand was already down his pants.
Ruined.
Hey, brother, I really appreciate your time, man. If I can ever be of service, Larry's got my info.
Right on.
All right, cool. Hey, Lou, before you go.
Yes, sir.
Plug it one more time, buddy.
What's that, brother?
Your plug, your man. Website. Throw your plug out there.
Where can we find you guys?
Oh, you know what, man? You can find me at a fight pretty much every weekend. I'm Larry Cervantes' cut, man. He's coming on tonight. Mm-hmm. Lou Landoff on Facebook, partner.
All right.
Got my number.
You got it, buddy.
Right, I appreciate it.
You'll see me in Respect in the Cage. You'll see me in Strikeforce next month. So, wrapping hands and working cuz.
Excellent. Thanks for calling, buddy.
Thank you, guys. On that note, we're going to take a quick break, and we're going to be back with some more Mat Time Radio.
Heads up! Heads up! Here's another one. And another one. You all in my ear talking a whole bunch of shit that I ain't trying to hear. Get back, you don't know me like that. Get back, you don't know me like that. Geek, woo-hoo. I ain't playing around. Make one false move, I take it down. Get back, you don't know me like that. Get back, you don't know me like that. So come on, don't get swung on, it's the knick-knack, paddy-whack, still riding Cadillacs, family off the street, made my homies put the baggies back, still stacking plaques, still action-packed, and dope, I keep it flipping like acrobats, that's why I pack them, that'll crack a back, cause on my waist is more heat than a Shaq attack, but I ain't speaking about bowling, just thinking about brawling till y'all start falling, we all in together now, birds of a feather now, just bought a plane, so we changing the weather now, so put your brakes on, caps, put your capes on, and knock off your block. Get dropped and have your face flown. Cause I'll prove it. Scratch off the music like, hey, little stupid, don't make me lose it. Why you all in my ear talking a whole bunch of shit that I ain't trying to hear? Get back, you don't know me like that. Get back, you don't know me like that. Geek, woo, woo. I ain't playing around. Make one false move, I take it down. Me like that. Get back, you don't know me like that.
I came.
I saw.
I hit him right dead in the jaw.
In the jaw.
I came.
I saw.
I hit him right dead in the jaw.
In the jaw.
I came.
I saw.
I hit him right dead in the jaw.
In the jaw.
I came.
I saw.
I hit him right dead in the jaw.
In the jaw. See, I caught him with a right hook. Caught him with a jab. Caught him with an uppercut. Kicked him in his... Sent them on his way, cause I ain't for that talk. And no trips to the county, I ain't for that walk. We split like two pins at the end of a lane. We'll knock out your spotlight and put an end to your vein. Put a DTP pendant at the end of your chain. And put the booty of a at the end of a plane. Yeet. Why you all in my ear talking a whole bunch of shit that I ain't trying to hear? Get back, you don't know me like that.
Get back, you don't know me like that.
Playing around, make one false move, I take it down. Get back, you don't know me like that.
Get back, you don't know me like that. Hey, you want what with me? I'ma tell you one time, don't with me.
Get down.
Cause I ain't got nothing to lose, and I'm having a bad day. Don't make me take it out on you. You want what with me? I'ma tell you one time, don't with me.
Get down.
Cause I don't wanna do that. I wanna have a good time.
time and enjoy my jack. Sit back and watch the women get drunk as hell, so I can wake up in the morning with a story to tell. I know it's been a little while since I've been out the house, but now I'm here, you wanna stand around running your mouth? I can't hear nothing you saying or spitting, so what's up? Don't you see we in the club, man? Shut the fuck up. Geek, geek. Why you all in my ear talking a whole bunch of shit that I ain't trying to hear? Get back, get back. You don't know me like that. Get back, you don't know me like that. Geek, geek. Woo, woo. I ain't playing around. Make one false move, I take you down. Get back, get back. You don't know me like that. Get back, get back. You don't know me like that. We in the red light district. 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 We in the red light district.
There you go. fucking sucker song.
Shut the fuck up.
We're done. All right, we're back.
And we're back.
Yeah.
Like I said, we're back.
Yeah, so the phone lines are open. You can still call us at 1-800-893-9562. We want to hear from you guys. We want to hear your opinion.
So let's get back into this UFC talk you were talking about, man.
Yeah, well, besides that deal with Fox.
Yeah.
What about that old thing? It just came up, actually, with Fader. They were actually, the details were coming out about how they were going to offer him millions of dollars to fight for the UFC, and he walked away from that.
I don't know. I think maybe he felt bad. I don't think he's worth it.
Yeah, but now, or you think he might have been maybe holding out for more money?
I don't think so.
I think he probably went. You know what it was? He probably had that M1 global thing he's got going on, and they wanted a cut of the pay-per-views, and it was probably more money than it was worth at some point.
You know, from what I know about Fader, though, he's a real humble guy. Still lives in a really small town, still trains in a really small gym. He doesn't seem like a very materialistic, I want money, money, money type person.
Yeah, it shows, though. I mean, he's got to cut like 20 pounds. I mean, I think he's a little too heavy for the fighters nowadays.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, that's true. Well, I mean, let's see what happens next with Fader. You know, does he go...
Does he got one more fight left, I think, or?
Nope, I think pretty much after that, when the UFC acquired Strikeforce, they put him on that one, that last venue, and that was it.
Was that his last fight then? I thought for some reason, I thought I read somewhere that they were going to give him, you know, another, he had one more fight coming up.
I wonder who.
Yeah, I mean.
And actually, we got a question over the Twitter from Will, and his question is, who's next for Anderson Silva, and who's really next for Shogun?
Man,
I think the only logical choice really for Anderson Silva would be Vitor Belfort.
For Silva?
Yeah.
No, but he already for Shogun, dude.
Yeah,
that would be good. Shogun and Vitor.
But
there may be the winner between them two. I don't know. What do you think, Noah?
For Silva, I think GSP ultimately is going to be the best fight. A lot of people think I'm wrong, and they think Silva's going to run right through him, but I think GSP's going to he'd be able to take that fight. It'd be a big moneymaker.
Against Silva?
Yeah. GSP versus Silva, yeah. I think GSP.
Do you think, like, at a catch weight?
It'd have to be a catch weight. Yeah.
Well, I wonder what that dude walks around at. I'm GSP. I'm sure he cuts down. All those guys are cutting down.
Oh, yeah.
I heard he walks around 190. 187, 190.
Oh, that's right. They say he's one of the few that's pretty close to his fighting weight.
So they'd probably catch around 75 or something.
Yeah, well, look at Anderson Silva fought Okami at 174.
Yeah.
So I'm sure he can make the weight, too, even though he walks really heavy himself.
You know what I think is funny about Silva? I know everyone always talks about, like, how Chael Sonnen took it to him. Even if Chael won, they would have took the belt from him. He wouldn't have won the belt.
Yeah.
Right? So it doesn't, I mean... It's almost like he wasn't even trying for that fight and just waited. He probably, like, he goes, I got this guy, you know? Because he did the same thing to Okami. He just, he had his hands down. He said, this guy doesn't even hit hard.
Yep.
You know? And then he just said, all right, that's it. I'm stepping it up and put it together. I mean, he hit him with that same punch that he hit Forrest with, I think.
Yeah.
I don't think he was playing with the Sonnen fight, though. He was getting beat up. He was getting hurt. He caught him at the end.
Yeah, but even if Sonnen would have won... They would have took the belt from him,
yeah.
Right? Because he would have definitely got tested.
Yeah.
So it's just...
See, his Muay Thai is just on a whole nother level as everybody else in the UFC, in my opinion.
But everybody gives him too much space. That's a problem. Yeah. I mean, and he's got those, like, long that, arms, right? I mean...
Somebody like that, you got to crowd him.
You got
his heart in a big cage.
Yeah, and I know they have different size cages, too, for different fights, you know?
Yeah, but it's not like
octagon
the US.
Size? Yeah, they have different octagon sizes.
Oh, wow, I never knew that.
Yeah, they got different octagon sizes, different ring sizes, but the UFC or Strikeforce are not going to change their...
No, they even it was on one of the shows. Sometimes they use a bigger...
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, think about it. If you've got a big venue, you can't have a small cage in there. It looks funny.
Right.
Yeah. Right? Well, King of the Cage, they use a smaller one. Couple other smaller organizations use the smaller ones, just like a boxing ring. Was a standard boxing ring, is that 20 by 20? Or is it 24 by 24?
You don't know. Larry doesn't know. All right. Well, We'll look it up. We got internet. So
Google it.
I tell my wife,
she asks a question, Google it.
I don't even know the dimensions of a boxing ring.
Yeah, I think it's 20 by 20. That's standardized.
I know De La Hoya used to ask for a smaller ring. Or no, a larger ring when he used to fight.
So he could run away.
I'm a De La Hoya fan, so I'm not going to say why, but... Yeah, he used to request a larger ring.
Really? That sounds like a Mayweather move right there, though.
No,
but that, I think part of that deal was that it was his production company running most of his fights for De La Hoya, wasn't it?
Yeah.
So he can, I mean, he had that Golden Boy Productions, right? So he can pretty much say, all right, we're using a bigger ring.
Yeah, but if you've, because I fought in a 16 by 16 and a 20 by 20. And the 16 by 16, you basically just stand there and bang.
There's not
really a lot to move around, and there's no finesse in it. There's no sport in it, in my opinion. I would always prefer like a 20 by 20.
Oh, you would?
Or a bigger ring, yeah. So you can, there's more finesse in it as opposed to just standing in front of somebody and throwing as many punches and kicks as you can.
Yeah.
Right. Well, with Muay Thai, you definitely want to see it that space. You want to see, you know, does people get to wind up and set up those kicks and everything and what, you know, makes it so exciting and everything.
I thought it was just all the guys yelling, hey, oh, hey, 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 hey. It's like, hey, I learned all my vowels.
tell us about that tradition too, you know, because a lot of people don't know what everybody yelling about.
It's not really a tradition. It's just a Muay Thai thing. Whenever somebody they make a good shot, it's oi! If you're watching any of the traditional Thai fights from Thailand, Rajadam, Lapini, that's all you'll hear in the audience. It's a Thai thing.
I mean, everybody yells that, or just usually like coaches?
No, everybody yells that. You'll hear them.
Like soccer players, like a chant.
Yeah.
You know, when they start to chant, everyone gets involved. It's like, you know, fan participation. They get in there and they just, you know, they yell when they acknowledge a good, you know, good hit.
Well, soccer match, you got to do something, man. They play for like 15 hours. How long are those games? 3 hours? You
know? I don't know. I get tired watching soccer.
Only two timeouts, right?
Yeah, two timeouts. You got to yell, man.
Yeah, those guys are sprinting up and down the field. And
dude, I've never seen a fat soccer player.
I don't know.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I always say, they should have somebody like Shaq be a goalie, because that'd be like a, you know, 7-footer. You can block anything on there, but you can get them wide enough. But so, I hear that stuff like in some of the fights where they got a Muay Thai coach in the corner, you can hear him yelling. And I'm talking about like even an MMA fight, you know?
That's more of a traditional thing, the traditional Thais.
I guess you hear your coach's voice,
Well, you get used to your coach's voice. You know his voice out of a crowd of people, but it's just a Thai thing.
Yeah, well, I know I can always hear my coach when he's coaching me.
Yeah, well, you know, I think you just, a lot of the times, you just zone out everything else because it really, I mean, you can't hear people yelling at you. You can't, I mean, you hear your coach and that's about it.
Yeah.
I think if you don't, then you just get distracted from, you know, the task at hand.
I think being able to listen to your coach is really kind of one of those behaviors you really learned too after competing and getting settled in and stuff.
What do you think, Noah?
Yeah, you start to single in on that one voice. Everything else turns to a blur. Mm-hmm. Usually that's how I feel when I'm competing. You focus in on what you're doing and you're thinking about how you're going to win. But when you do hear a voice, it's usually that one you're most comfortable with, usually your coach that you've been with for a while.
The one that screams at you all day long.
Yeah. Is that the same in boxing, Larry?
I've only had two fights, and both of the fights is identical to what Noah said.
Yeah.
The crowd is screaming. The crowd is whatever.
Yeah.
And it's silent, but you hear that one voice in the corner or that one voice that you can count on in the stands, mm-hmm. and you hear them coaching, and you do what they say, and it works out.
Yeah.
And at the end of the fight, you thank them because... He sees things you don't.
Yeah, no, yeah, it's a whole different perspective. I know I've been there, man, at a tournament. I never forget it, man. The guy had me, it was a huge guy. I was like 6'3" or something, man. I'm short, but he had me in this choke, and I could just hear my coach telling me, turn to the left, you know? Hey, man, and I'm, sure enough, you turn to the left, and the choke's off, and you're like, wow, man, that was a lifesaver.
Yep.
Yeah. Well, you're still there, you're like, man, I was done.
that voice just, you know, it comes through, and it definitely. After, you know, with experience, you know, one of those things that bring you back. Yeah. So we're gonna be back with the quick break, and actually we're gonna come back with Decomp Clothing. They're here in studio, and we wanna learn about what they got going on there at Decomp.
Yeah, that'd be kinda cool to find out what these guys are all about.
So we'll be back in just a quick minute with some more Mad Time Radio. Right, we're back.
Man, my hands hurt from that solo I just did.
You air guitaring it up that whole time, aren't you?
I'm telling you. Like a madman over
How
here.
How you doing that air guitar solo?
Yeah. My paper guitar I got at Toys R Us.
No, I was doing the skin flute solo.
Whoa. Easy.
Oh, easy.
The left hand or the right hand?
Where's the sensor button? It's on my fist. It's coming over in a minute.
Ejector seat. Hey, guys. Okay, we are still live, and we want you to call in. 1-800-893-9562. Man, we're really excited and we're honored to have in studio with us today Decomp Clothing. Hey, what's up, Decomp? How you guys doing?
How you guys doing? We're doing all right.
We're doing great.
Hey, thanks for coming out today and spending some time with us, and we just wanted to get to know a little bit more about you guys.
Yeah, also in here, man, we got Noah Tillis, who, you know, he's always sporting his Decomp shirts at all his fights and stuff. So welcome, Noah, too. I know you're chiming in.
We're the Decom sponsored fighters.
Yeah. All right. Thank you.
Man, a few words.
Yeah.
All right. So tell me, guys. Now, when was your brand launched originally?
We started in 2009, October. A little too close. 2009 of last year. So we're going about 2 years right now.
And right here out of L.A.?
Yeah, about... I guess I get out of Downey area.
Oh, okay. Local.
Yeah, not too far.
Yeah. So why don't you tell me a little bit how you got started? Like, well, you know, why'd you come up with Decomp?
Decomp is just something we work with on an everyday basis. We both work at the coroner's office.
Okay.
So it's just something that we deal with on a regular daily basis.
Okay.
Oh, wow. There's got to be some crazy stories coming out of there, huh?
Yeah, it's a lot of inspiration for the shirts and get up a lot of ideas from there.
And besides you two, are there any other contributors to the line that you'd like to mention?
Yeah, we got Ray Vargas, one of our main designers. We got Emil Cortez, that was a big artist that we had before. That's pretty much it on the artist side.
Okay.
And
go ahead.
And now, can you tell us or can you give us a little sneak preview or any other collaborations you have in the works or anyone else that you're going to work with or looking forward to working with?
In October, we got Roots and Culture, and that's going to be at the Eagle Rock Music Festival.
Mm-hmm.
So it's going to be the Decomp Clothing Roots and Culture collab that's going to be debuting at the festival.
What is that exactly?
Yeah,
Eagle Rock Music Festival is like a big street art, like 100 bands. I think it's taking over the new Sunset Junction Festival that got canceled.
If there's a website for that, if people check
just
that out?
The Eagle Rock Music Festival .com.
Oh, okay, yeah. Excellent.
And
I was gonna say, because I know besides seeing you guys on all the fighting shirts, I know if you go to your website, decomclothing.com.
Yeah,
I know you guys got some pictures of some kind of a zombie crawl thing you guys did in Uptown Whittier.
Yeah, that was about a month ago. I think every couple months they do a zombie fest. You just go bar to bar dressing like zombies. So nice. We thought to come out with a shirt for that event.
Oh, okay, awesome. Yeah, I seen some of the pictures on there. So,
yeah, now were you involved in the artwork? I know they made some mugs and some other merch and stuff like that. Were you involved with that as well?
No, we weren't involved with that. We just thought we'd crash the party.
There you go. Wait, I think you guys crashed that in style, though, man. Yeah, that's pretty cool, right?
Did all
right.
We had about 30 zombies out there.
Yeah.
Oh, right.
Not
on.
Too shabby. Yeah. I know. You know. I know you guys also got Larry here, man. Why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself?
I work with Jason at the LA County Coroner's Office, where we get all of our ideas from and our little concepts.
Yeah.
I do some boxing.
Oh, awesome. Okay.
D-Comp has shown nothing but love for me. He had a few fights before me, and they all won, so it put the pressure on me to, I can't be the first one to lose. So luckily, I won my two fights. So right now, D-Comp Clothing is undefeated.
With all man, we got undefeated guys in the house.
Undefeated. We got no winners.
Wow.
Tillis has a loss. So.
Awesome. Now, I know with you guys being new, I think you said you're 2 years going on, 2 years?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, what's been the hardest lesson for you guys to learn in you know, starting up your own, you know, quote-unquote clothing company?
I just think keeping everything new and different than what everybody else has out there, trying not to copy whatever else is going on.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
And what would be like a typical day, you know, for the office or you know, in your... For D-Comp Clothing, what would be a typical day for the company?
I mean, we just have to go over getting ideas done, getting them to the printer, getting all the artwork completed, and getting people. Artists are hard to work with in general, so getting them in line and getting them to meet deadlines is the hardest part on a typical day-to-day basis.
Yeah.
So managing that time and make sure you get everything off the press and everything right.
Yeah.
Well, along with work and everything else you got to do, I guess it's, you know.
Yeah, it's a long day.
Yeah, it's a long day.
Well, is this something that's really, is it just a hobby or do you plan to really, you know, grow your company as large as you can or what are the plans for the next coming year or so?
I don't think there's really plans. We'll just see where it goes, see where it takes us. Mm-hmm. Just keep doing something that we love to do.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's kind of cool, you know. I mean,
That's the best part, you know, I would say, you know, just do what you love and let the creativity, you know, just flow and stuff. And looking at your designs, you know, you've done quite a few shirts for fighters and, you know, I've seen at the fights and always impressed with the artwork and the color schemes and everything. And I'm really looking forward to see what else you guys got, you know, coming down the pipe.
Yeah, and it always seems like every other shirt I see from you guys is getting, like, progressively more artistic. And, you know, it seems like there's a lot of thought going into the shirt, you know, so.
Yeah. The artwork is crazy. Yeah. You know, we have about 50 designs coming out pretty soon. The website is under construction right now, but believe us when we tell you it's going to be ready soon.
Yeah.
The artwork is just, it's crazy. I can't wait for the Oktoberfest because we're going to have a lot of those shirts, if not all of them, out. The one I'm most hyped about is the Digital Death one.
Okay.
It's from when music first started to the, you know, the records to CD players to tapes to, I mean, it's a design that just shows you where music started and where it's at and where it's going to go. It's
those shirts going to be, you know, if somebody wants to buy one of those, they're going to be for sale?
Yeah, the new fall line comes out October 1st, the same day as the festival. So
okay.
You can pick it up at the festival. We're going to have 4 booths there. Or you could go online and check them out.
Where online can they go to get checked out?
DCOMClothing.com.
Oh, cool. Okay. Yeah.
Now, pretty simple to remember,
pretty
right?
Simple. Yeah. You guys got a Facebook and a Twitter you guys want to plug too?
Yeah, it's just DCOMClothing at Twitter and DCOMClothing at Facebook.
Oh, awesome.
And besides seeing you guys at the MMA fights, are there any other sports that you sponsor or you're looking to sponsor?
I mean, we have a couple of DJs that we sponsor. We have Lewis Landoff. He's a hand wrap guy. We're sponsoring him. Mm-hmm. We sponsor the Corners Baker to Vegas team.
Okay. Those are the ones that run. Those are the ones that do that big old running event, right?
Yeah, it's a Baker to Vegas. It's a relay. It's 120 miles.
In the desert.
Yeah,
through Death Valley. It's not fun.
Oh, okay. You said relay. Okay.
Yeah, right. Relay. Nah, 120 places.
No, we had heard about that about a while back. We go, wow, run to Baker to Vegas. You know?
Yeah, it's kind of nice. So the guy, you know, the guys are out there running. They got the caravan of cars behind them and stuff.
Yeah.
So just to make sure
it's
they're
not
okay.
Nice for the runner, though.
Yeah.
For some reason, I thought they were just, you know, running through straight. I was like, wow, how many people are, you know?
I think they're. I think each department does their own teams, right?
So yeah.
You can have 10 guys, 1,000 guys. I guess it, you know, just depends on the department.
No, yeah, it's 20. A lot of people.
It's 20 runners per team.
Oh, it is. Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
It's from law enforcement all over California or United States, I guess.
Yeah.
They even have teams from Canada. There's been years where they have teams from China. And It's going global now.
What, the Baker to Vegas?
The Baker to Vegas. Each year they have a Canadian women's team. I think they have two Canadian women's teams.
Oh, wow.
And they're fun to party with. I got the pictures to prove it.
Yeah,
they're fun.
Yeah, yeah, I know. I heard about them parties afterwards are pretty good, you know?
Wow.
But all Desert Raven stuff, huh?
Yeah, if you have a girlfriend or wife, don't tell them where you're going.
No, no, they don't party, dude.
Yeah, they don't, yeah.
I'm like, breaking the code, dude.
So like, babe, I'm going to go run. I'm just going to go run. I'll be back.
Yeah. I'm just going to sit in my tub, man. I'm tired.
I'm going to the desert. What else is there?
Yeah, exactly.
You can gamble your life away out there.
We have.
So, Noah, anything coming up for you as far as fights? I know you had a fight that was supposed to happen out in Pomona, and it didn't. And any rescheduling or any plans?
Right now, I'm just kind of focusing on jiu-jitsu. I got the Nationals coming up and some more big tournaments. I'm really focused on getting my black belt. And like you said, a lot of the stuff I was doing with MMA, it kind of slowed down. I didn't get the fights I wanted. So right now I'm really just focusing on jiu-jitsu, getting my black belt, establishing myself with my jiu-jitsu, and, you know, looking on big things for that, maybe my own gym.
Yeah.
Big stuff for jiu-jitsu coming up. Yeah. Fighting, I really want to fight, but just the timing right now is not working out for me.
Right. Well, I remember we had plugged your fight here on one of the other shows here on Skid Row, and we're real excited, and it's unfortunate that in this game a lot of people don't know what happens behind the scenes, and you know, to everyone that doesn't know the story, you know, Noah's wrapped up and ready to go, and his guy didn't pass medical.
Yeah. The sad part is a lot of those times, like, you know, I know Noah goes out there and he sells tickets and shirts and everything, and, you know, to help the fighter, because they got to pay for all those bills and stuff like that. And when something like that happens, like I said, you spend so much time in camp, it just kind of just ruins your day. So,
oh, yeah. I mean, how long were you preparing for that fight, Noah?
They actually went through five different opponents trying to find a guy that actually signed. So my camp, my initial camp was supposed to be about 6-7 weeks, but I was training hard for a fight for well over 3 months, and I was on weight for a long time because so many people skimmed out of that fight. So, you know, over 3 months I was on weight, I was training, you know, a couple times a day. So when I was wrapped up and I was ready to go, it's pretty heartbreaking, you know, everything you train for and stuff, and then, you know, ends up not working out. But that's the fight game. It's something you can't really rely on too much, you know what I mean?
Right.
So, I think that mental preparation sometimes is worse than actually getting in there sometimes. So
yeah, I agree.
And what about you, Larry? Got anything coming up?
The next fight I'm looking forward to is the Fight for Life. That's in December. I want to get one more fight in between. We'll see how it goes, see how my training's going. But that's for sure, that's the next fight.
Yeah. When's that?
December.
Okay.
I don't know which day, but sometime in December. It's a Fight for Life.
All right, awesome.
Right on. Yeah.
Hey, Noah, I have a question for you.
Go ahead.
Because I was at the last fight that got canceled with you. What is worse, losing a fight or preparing for the fight and then not going through?
Oh, I think losing would have been a lot worse. I think losing would have been better, actually. I mean, you would actually been able to go out there and fight and let it happen, let it all unfold. Not him actually not being able to fight and stuff. It's just mystery in your head. You know, you don't know how it would have went down. How you prepare for a certain style. You prepare. You know, this guy was a Muay Thai fighter. You know, so I prepared distinctly on that. I wanted a lot of preparation went into that. I didn't even get to see how the cards fell. You know, it was just an empty side of not knowing how it would have went down. So I think it would have been better just to go lose. You know, and lose a hard fought. You know, but so it would never happen. So
yeah, I mean, I agree with that. I mean, obviously I don't fight in the cage, but I think it's you can at least learn something from it. You can go back and check it out and be like, man, I really need to work on this or work on that.
Yeah, I'm exactly. A lot of us, we take the time to train and to prepare. And yeah, one of those biggest things is making the weight and stuff. And a lot of coaches would see that as disrespectful if you show up to a fight and you don't make weight, you know, things like that, you know. I mean, that's just a no-no right there, you know. Or, I mean, I know that didn't happen in your case, but
it actually did. He the day before he was still 2 pounds over, so the weigh-in got prolonged for another hour. We made him, you know, put his running shoes on and make weight, and he ended up still being a half a pound over, didn't want to cut. So, you know, just the commission rules, we taxed him for 20% of his purse. You know, 10 to onto my contract and 10 to the commission. So that fight was, there was a lot of bumps. I should have figured something wasn't going to go out so smoothly.
Yeah, and that's weird because it seems like, you know, from my experience with, you know, training with some Muay Thai fighters, that those guys are usually on weight Wouldn't you think so, Dwayne?
Yeah, I've never seen... I've seen guys cut maybe 5 to 7 pounds before a Muay Thai fight, but most of the Muay Thai fighters walk around really close to what they're going to be fighting at.
Yeah, that's true. You know, I had talked about weight cutting to some of those guys, and they had, you know, no clue of, like, you know, some of the things that we do, you know, as jiu-jitsu practitioners to make weight and you know, the little ins and outs of it that we seem normal, you know, seem, you know, to be normal, and other people think we're crazy for doing it.
Yeah, it's all mental preparation, man. If you can't cut the weight, you're never going to be mentally prepared, man. That's a wrestler's mindset too, so.
Yeah, I mean, even, you know, for me, a lot of times I can be on, or, you know, even just a little bit under, and that's still, until I weigh in, I'm a nervous wreck. I'm not really worried about the fight. I'm just worried about stepping on the scale, and once they say I'm good, you know, weight-wise, I can breathe again, and I'm ready to go.
Well, once you're there, there's nothing you're going to learn. You know, it's like,
yep.
Like I always attributed back to being in school where like people were cramming for the test right before a test. I'm like, there's nothing you're going to learn.
I completely agree.
Do you know what I mean? Like, you should have already put in the work. You know, so by the time you're stepping into that ring or that cage or whatever it is, there's nothing you're going to learn in the next hour that's going to change your game.
You're right.
Right. So now before we go, we actually have a couple of giveaways here for, you know, from DCOM Clothing. Really, really nice designs. If you're interested in trying to win one of these designs here, one of these shirts, the first 5 people to Twitter to @MattTimeRadio, and make sure you send us your info, send us a direct message. We'll send you out a shirt, and so you can check out what DCOM has going on.
Yeah.
And awesome. Again, DCOM, how can they find you?
DCOMClothing.com, DCOMClothing at Facebook and at Twitter.
Okay, and now you can find us here also. We're Matt Time Radio. You can find us at skidrow.la. You can find us on Twitter as well at Matt Time Radio, or you can find us on Facebook. All right, guys.
All right.
Anything else before we close it out?
Yeah, one more time. If you need any transportation, DCOM.
Transportation?
Twitter @ 8 Class and Comfort, best limousine around.
Nice.
Oh, nice. Okay. Throw that one in there.
All right, cool.
All right, guys. Hey, thank you, everybody, for coming in studio. We really appreciate it. We do this all for you guys, and we hope you continue to listen, and we want to hear your feedback, so hit us up and let us know what we can do to make a better show for you. Okay, guys?
Yeah.
Until next time, we'll see you again here at Matt Time Radio.
You got to crail out.
Ow. Don't forget, go train.
Go train.
Go train.
Train dog.